So our next guest is Medea Benjamin, one of the country's best-known peace activists, as co-founder of Code Pink and Global Exchange. We are working on our phone system here, and Medea, are you able to hear us?
Yes, I am.
Great. So, Medea, after 9/11, the United States government launched its war on terror, include an invasion of Afghanistan and Iraq. I think you were there when they started bombing in Iraq. And they also curtailed civil liberties here in the United States. Looking back over these last 16 years, was that the correct approach? And how would you fix it at this point?
Well,
a short question for you.
The correct approach in that the Middle East is just an absolute disaster. And that was as a result of our invasion. I mean, in the case of Afghanistan now, 16 years later, the Taliban is still strong. And the invasion of Iraq has just been an absolute disaster. How would I fix it at this point? Well, I think the history has shown that U.S. involvement has only been a negative influence for the region, and that the U.S. has to get out. I think there have to be peace talks about how to transition the region so that it's all the foreign players are out of there. But in general, I would say the post 9/11 U.S. policy has been close to apocalyptic for the people in the region, especially the Iraqis.
Yeah, so you would recommend the same point of view in Afghanistan as well, then? Just removal of U.S. troops and no more U.S. involvement in nation building and that kind of thing?
Well, the U.S. has not been very good at nation building. You know, we brag about how so many more women have gone to school because of the U.S. Intervention and overthrow of the Taliban, and yet when you look at the statistics, most of those girls don't stay in school because they're still so poor. It's been 16 years. This is the longest war in U.S. history. And Afghanistan, despite being invaded and occupied by the largest superpower in the world, where we spent billions and billions of dollars supposedly to develop Afghanistan, it remains one of the poorest countries, one of the places on earth where it's the worst conditions for women, worst conditions for children, worst infant mortality rates, life expectancy rates. So what the U.S. money that's been pouring in there has really done is fed a terrible system of corruption that plagues the country today and makes the Afghan people not confident in their own government. It also means that the Afghan military, after 16 years, is not capable of fighting the Taliban to a large extent because of the corruption. There's tens of thousands of fake soldiers. They're called ghost soldiers on the payroll who don't really exist. And they don't have a lot to fight for when the government is so corrupt and beholden to a foreign power. So, yes, I would say that we should negotiate our way out of there, and there's going to have to be a power-sharing agreement between the government in power and the Taliban in the end, because whether we like it or not, the Taliban is from Afghanistan. So why keep putting it off and having more people dying in the interim and more U.S. tax dollars spent when we know that's the way that this war is going to end?
So according to the 9/11 Commission, that investigated, allegedly, 15 of the 19 airplane hijackers on 9/11 were Saudi Arabian nationals. Now, Saudi Arabia has a terrible human rights record on women, on religion, and workers from foreign countries. We obviously keep on shipping them a lot of arms in exchange for their access to oil. How should the United States change its policy towards Saudi Arabia?
The U.S. has a long history of supporting Saudi Arabia. In fact, from the time of the founding of Saudi Arabia in 1932 and the discovery of oil in 1938, the U.S. has been supporting and literally holding up this very repressive regime. Just think, Mark, when you say Saudi Arabia, it's Saud, it's the family that has ruled this, quote, kingdom decade after decade after decade. And it's thanks to U.S. saying, we will make sure you will never be overthrown by people internally who want to see a more democratic government or people externally who hate the way the Saudis have been spreading their intolerant version of Wahhabism around the world and particularly throughout the Middle East. The U.S. should not be in bed with the Saudi regime, and Saudi Arabia is now the number one weapons purchaser from the United States. So the irony of ironies is that the country most responsible for spreading terrorism, the country that provided 15 of the 19 hijackers and a lot of the financing for the 9/11 attacks, the country that does spread its intolerant version of Islam around the world, is the country that the U.S. is supporting with weapons, with diplomatic cover, and against other countries in the Middle East like Iran. So the U.S. should get out of bed with the Saudis, should have a should no longer be selling weapons to Saudi Arabia, and should not be supporting their intervention in places like Yemen that has become a catastrophic situation thanks to the bombing campaign done by the Saudis with U.S. weapons and U.S. airplanes.
Many Americans, of course, are probably completely unaware of what's going on in Yemen. I had also wanted to ask you, following up in Syria, you know, also their role in financing the so-called civil war that continues in Syria, though there is some indication that perhaps finally that may be coming, you know, to a resolution. But do you want to talk about, you know, maybe Yemen and then a little bit about Syria?
The Saudis have been financing extremist groups in Syria, like the what was called the Al-Nusra Front, which was a which connected to Al-Qaeda. And they have been supporting the they have been become involved in the internal struggle in Yemen, where they should not be involved. They were worried that the group that rose up against the government in power, called the Houthis, was would be aligned with Iran, and the Saudis see the Iranians as their mortal enemies. And so they became involved in a campaign thinking that just a short bombing, a couple of weeks, perhaps a month or two, they would defeat the Houthis and put their guy back in place. It's been now over 2 years, and in the meantime, Yemen has become a country that where a child dies every 5 minutes now from the effects of war, where there is the largest outbreak of cholera that we've seen in decades, with now 650,000 people affected by cholera. And all of this comes from a war where the Saudis have been bombing the sewage system, the water system, the healthcare facilities. And it is unfortunate that the U.S. media rarely covers what is happening in Yemen and how bad this has been for the people of Yemen, but also fails to cover the U.S. role in this, where someone like Senator Murphy from Connecticut is one of the few senators who have spoken out and said the blood of the Yemeni people is on our hands. The Saudis would not be able to do any of this were it not for the support they're receiving from the United States.
What kind of relationship do you see between what we know about the Trump administration's policies in the Middle East and the policies that the Bush administration was enacting after 9/11?
I'm sorry for the siren in the background.
They're not
here.
Coming to take you away, are they?
No, I'm in Washington, D.C., and it's gone. It might be Trump going somewhere here. Hmm. So the connection between the Bush policies and the Trump policies, I think we ought to add in there the Obama administration's policies, because really, to be honest about it, we have to say that many of the policies of George Bush were continued by Obama. For example, the military intervention was continued, scaled back a bit, but not stopped by the Obama administration. And in fact, Obama traded the U.S. troops on the ground for drone operations as well as covert forces. And this is something that the Trump administration has carried on. Trump hasn't increased by very much the presence of U.S. troops, but he has upped the drone strikes that Obama paved the way for. So I think we have to recognize that since 9/11, the response of both the Democratic and Republican administrations has been one of military intervention that has only made us more enemies, has only spread terrorist groups around the Middle East, strengthened them in many places. For example, I mentioned the U.S. involvement in the war in Yemen, but what I didn't say is, well, we are working with the Saudis to try to defeat the Houthis. In the meantime, the Houthis were the ones fighting Al-Qaeda, and so Al-Qaeda has benefited from this. So there has been all too much continuity since 9/11 with a disastrous response that has been a militarized one that has cost us trillions of dollars, thousands of U.S. lives, and been devastating for the region.
You're listening to WOOC 105.3 FM and with your co-hosts for the Hudson Mohawk Evening Magazine, Mark Dunley and Jonah Moberg. And we're talking with Medea Benjamin of Code Pink and many other groups. And Medea, I do remember a while back, maybe a couple of years, you were, I don't know if you were on your way to Palestine, but ended up with some broken ribs in an airport, or what happened with that?
That was in Egypt after the coup that overthrew the democratically elected government of President Morsi, who was with the Muslim Brotherhood, a leader that the U.S. did not like, but in any case was democratically elected. When the coup happened, I was went to Egypt and, yes, was beaten up. To this day, I continue to suffer the consequences of it. But more importantly is that the Egyptians are really suffering the consequences. There were 40,000 people that were locked up as a result of that coup. Many of them, most of them, remain locked up to this day. Thousands of people who were massacred. And it is one of the worst places in the world now for journalists, for people who are trying to get more democratic rights. And recently there was some positive action in which Congress cut off several hundred million dollars that was going to Egypt. And we applaud Congress for that. We'd like to go all the way and cut off all the money to this coup regime. But yes, it's one of the examples of a terrible backsliding after the Arab Spring that was so promising for people in Egypt and so many other countries in the Middle East.
Medea, it's been depressing. We have about 4 minutes left, but one of the other issues would have been a lot of conflict, at least among the Trump administration recently, has been the issue of North Korea. And just curious what your perspective is on that situation and what we should be doing there. And also, what are some of the real things that most American people do not understand about the situation with North Korea?
I think the narrative that North Korea is one person, is Kim Jong-un a crazy leader, rather than it is millions of people who are just trying to go on about their lives. The sanctions we're opposing are hurting ordinary North Koreans and is really making the government more belligerent. I think that your listeners should understand that since 1953, there's the war there. There's never been a peace treaty, and the U.S. has been constantly trying to overthrow that government. It's not a government I would like to live under, but it's not our job to overthrow it. So I think what we should be calling for is something the Russians and the Chinese have called for, which is a freeze for a freeze. The U.S. freeze its military exercises that are so provocative to the North Koreans, and the North Koreans freeze their testing, and then we go to the peace table and talk about negotiating a peace treaty.
Medea, we're almost out of time. If people want to A, track what you're doing, but B, also support a lot of the fine work that Copink is doing. How best can they, you know, find you on the internet and keeping track of you?
Yeah, they can reach us at codepink.org and sign up for our weekly alerts. And while I did paint a pretty depressing picture, I do want to say that there are some positive things, for example, that happened under Obama with the Iran peace deal, the Iran nuclear deal, and that's something we have to work hard to keep under the Trump administration. So please join us, go on our website, and get involved, and thank you very much for this time on the air.
Thank you, Medea. That was Medea Benjamin from Code Pink.